Let's go back to Michael Sheridan. This next garden is Citron, the power of one. And it's all about recycling everything, including the family motor car. Michael.
Well, Derek, I hope you're enjoying the soothing sound of gentle trickling water. We're at the fantastic exhibit number 19, garden number 19, which is very horrible way of saying this fantastic garden. Is called the Citron Power of One, and it's designed by Nicola Hines, and it is an absolutely stunning place to be. It's an oasis of calm, but it's a green garden. It's a very green garden. Nicola's beside me now. Nicola, you must be so proud of your creation. It's a wonderful, wonderful garden.
Yeah, thank you. I am. We're very proud of it. It's been a big team effort by the Citron team, and also by the contractors as well, Silverstream. And it's been a long journey, but it's been worth it.
Tell me about the thinking behind it. You wanted to make an environmental garden that anybody could have, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. What we're trying to show is an alternative way that you might use a what's typically a very underutilized space, which is the front garden, and how you might use it to improve your community, but you might also use it to combat the effects of climate change and create a better environment for wildlife as well.
Now, looking at it, it's a lovely small little house. We're in the front garden. We've rain gutters, we've chains hanging from that. We've a lot of water. So tell me what the thinking is behind that.
Well, really, we were trying to demonstrate a very simple, a sustainable urban drainage system, which basically uses fallen rainwater from a roof, and it recycles it and uses it, I suppose. And we enjoy it on its journey down into a wildlife pond, and then also into a rain garden as well.
Now, the rain garden is really interesting because in Ireland we tend to have feast or famine. We've had glorious weather in the lead up to bloom, and people here have been, I've seen a lot of Irish tans, as we call them. There's a lot of redness around the place. People aren't using their sunblock. But what happens, we get deluges of rain. I mean, you'd wash away the plants. Well, I'd go and buy plants and they'd be washed away after a heavy shower. You've particularly planted a certain way that alleviates that problem.
Yes, there's a particular design that you would follow, and there's lots of information online about how to create a rain garden. But basically, the plant's choice that you would use, the plants have to be able to withstand waterlogging for periods of up to 48 hours. But you would also design it in a way that the soil wouldn't be eroded when it goes after a deluge as well. But there's an awful lot of information about rain gardens online and accessible to everybody as well.
Now, everybody in urban areas that particularly aware of pollution and particulates, particularly, and they're the nasty little things that we breathe, or when we smell pollution, we're breathing in particulates. You've planted in a very clever way to minimize the effect of particulates.
Yes, I've done a lot of research into air pollution and the ways that plants can mitigate or filter some of the airborne particulates that are everywhere in our urban cities.
Would you just give me an example of some of the type of plants we could look out for that are good at absorbing particulates?
Yeah, so basically you're looking for a range of different foliage sizes, but things, and sometimes evergreen as well, so things like the Pinus mugo. So Pinus is obviously a big genus, and they get very large trees. But the Pinus mugo are the miniature ones, they don't get too big. There's things like Taxus, again, our native yew is particularly good. There's Alcamilla, Alcamilla mollis, which are very good. Euphorbias, there's Achilleas, again, our native Achillea. So there's a good range of plants, and Cotoneaster as well. There's a particular one, Cotoneaster franchettii, which is particularly good, apparently, at absorbing particulates or filtering.
Now, you've got a small area, but you've really planted it so lushly. It's really full, and you'd be in it and you'd think this garden has been here for years. There's lots of follies around the place as well. It's little bits which made me smile as a motoring journalist. I'm looking at the clever use of old, disused car parts. Like, I see clutch plates into the patio here. I see bits of upturned green, bits of bottles of glass. Even there's bits of crockery. And it's like a modern day folly. It's like it's raising a smile, and you're giving things of interest in what otherwise could have been just a bit of decking or a few slabs down. So that you're thinking behind the use, and your seating, of course. We have to talk about your seating. Tell me your thinking behind that.
Well, yeah, this was a real labour of love. I'm calling it a sort of embodied carbon carpet, really. I suppose we are wanting to find a reuse for hard materials that have been used and maybe disused or from building sites. So we collected things over a year, and those included bits of crockery that we find in building sites, but all predominantly things with a high embodied carbon, so things like glass, steel, concrete, brick. And we, rather than going to waste or going into a skip, we pulled them out of the skip and basically put them together in a like a sort of a scrapbook version of a patio, yeah, rather
while,
than using.
While some people, Nicola, might find themselves having to sit in horrendous plastic chairs.
Yeah.
You have something from your youth, but it's also very relevant to Citroen as the most comfortable chairs you will find in a garden. Tell me about them.
Yeah, these are chairs that we have very generously donated just for Bloom from the from a 2CV. And the 2CVs were actually made to have the chairs removable for picnics. So we wanted to show them in the garden. I mean, they're fantastic, really. They're a bit like camping chairs.
They're wonderful. Yeah, just to describe them, Derek, yeah. They're like a frame, a metal frame with multiple holes throughout it. And there's springs attached, but the springs only play a small part. You can actually, you know, thread the thing. You could nearly use wool and whatever you had around the house, even old jumpers, to make the seats if you wanted to. So it's the most basic form, which, again, is in keeping with André Citroën, who was a fantastic pioneer in the motoring world, in keeping with that. And it just shows an absolute regard for making the best of what's around and enjoying the oddities and finding and repurposing them. It really is. It's wonderful. So you must be so proud.
I am. I think that kind of quirkiness or that innovative sort of thinking, yeah, exactly. We were really inspired by that, and that's something that we really wanted to come through in the garden. So if it does, I'm really proud of that.
And we must mention your dad, who had an ingenious thing. I'm looking up here, and I love the engineering of it. We've a mister. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So my dad, apparently, when I was researching for ways to mitigate climate change and air pollution, apparently in China they have used, I have no idea how successful it is, but it's basically a very fine mist. It's not a fog, it's a very fine mist. And if you use the mains water, it has to be mains, unfortunately, but you use it just occasionally whenever you want to sit out, but it's the air pollution might be particularly bad. And the mist grabs hold of the larger particulates, airborne particulates, and they fall to the ground. It makes them heavier and they fall to the ground. So the idea is, in this garden, we were trying to collate a whole load of information that's already out there. We're not really, I suppose, inventing anything particularly new, but it's a way of bringing things together that mightn't have been pulled together.
Much you
garden.
Don't have to invent something new, do you?
No.
But I saw your garden, Nicola, and it kind of strikes me as a back garden out the front, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know, and that's a good point. And I suppose it's kind of prettier than I had envisaged. I thought maybe it would turn out tougher. I mean, I suppose we were trying to keep the boundaries lower, because I think if you invest in your front gardens from a community point of view, I think if you're in the garden, in the front garden, it sparks off a whole load more conversation with neighbours. And I suppose you reinvest in your community, and there's a lot more casual conversation that can take part.
Absolutely. It's a very generous thing to do.
Well, I would imagine they'd be mad jealous. Because, you know, to come across somebody's house and the first thing you notice is all this lovely planting of wildflowers, particularly at this time of year, and then a pond, and then you see the water has been recycled, and then you see seating areas outside, and you think, am I in the back of the house or the front? But it's fabulous.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
I think we should give a word of caution to people with other cars. If they go and try and take out their rear seats, they might be invalidating their warranty.
Right, that's
stick
a
with
very
2CV
point.
Seats.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, you're there to talk about cars as well. That's why we asked you to come along today, because you know about these things.
Wonderful. Well, again, look, with Citroen, I'm still smiling because I think of André Citroen, and now I'm even smiling more because as I come to join Trevor Hunt from Citroen Ireland, I'm approaching the Citroen AMI, which is a wonderful piece of engineering. It's essentially, if you wanted to design a toy car, it would be it. It's a two-seater car made with recyclable materials. It runs on electricity, has a tiny battery, is incredibly green, and is perfect for the urban environment. And it just blends so well into this garden because it's considered. It's an urban joy, Trevor. You must be very happy with it.
Absolutely delighted, Michael. It's an urban mobility solution. So Citroen has been a brand around since 1919. It's got a history of innovation throughout all those years, and really founded on accessibility for people, about well-being, which they were always very comfortable cars and still are, and then always about daring to do something different. So in this day and age, well-being is about well-being for people and planet. It's not just about comfort, it's about being comfortable in the choice that you make and how you get around. So we've tried to come up with a solution for an urban mobility solution to make it more accessible in city centres, that really, what do you need? Sometimes enough is just enough. And this car is just enough for city centres.
Just enough of what,
around.
Trevor?
Well, just enough of joy. It really is a little joyful little machine.
It's funny, you step inside, Derek, there's two seats, the modular seats, both seats are identical. The doors on either side are identical. One opens backwards, one opens forwards. They're interchangeable. The front and the rear are exactly the same. They're made out of the same old plastic. The only difference is there's red lights on the back for your brake lights and headlights at the front. So it's such a clever use of resources as well. It has a tiny battery. It can do up to 75 kilometers. Its top speed, now this is the more worrying part for urban users who might feel it's not enough, is 45 kilometers. Now if you go into a headwind, that'll drop a little bit, but for urban use, it's quick enough. And the thinking behind it globally from Citroën, as I understand it from having chats with Trevor.
You're not
and
on
others.
The payroll, Michael, are
no,
you?
No. But the thing is, this would be a sort of a solution to transport. So you'd get your bus into town and then you'd be able to just hop into one of these as a hire vehicle, like a hire scooter or a hire car. Mm. So it's still in a bit of limbo in Ireland, Trevor, though, isn't it? Because while I'd love to go in and buy this, and I believe it would be circa 10 grand there, thereabouts, if I could, we're in a bit of red tape here. The government and legislation in Ireland is a bit retarded in this sense, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at the moment it's classed as a quadricycle, so we're working through...
And actually, the lovely thing with quadricycle, why do you say it, is in France, Derek, you can drive this as a kid, as a teenager.
The age of 14.
And you can also buy it in a supermarket. You know, like a car, you can buy it in a supermarket. Yeah. Sorry, Trevor.
Yeah.
But Ireland, we're sticklers, and the red tape is actually sucking all the joy out of this car at the moment for me.
Well, we hope to get through that and work through that now, and we'd love to launch it in this country, you know, and it's a great solution. It gives people more options and what they actually need, you know, and we're thinking about the life cycle of a car, you know, not just beyond what happens to this car afterwards. So as you said, Michael, the way that we've designed the bumpers, the front and back are identical, that's everything that we're trying to do about looking. So what is the impact of a car? So it's small little changes, but as a manufacturer, we believe that we have to do that now. And, you know, the greatest threat to the planet is the belief that somebody else will save it. Motor industry is not perfect, but we all have to do what we can. And that's what we're trying to do.
It's funny, there are other motor manufacturers here. I see Toyota have their first electric car here as well. But in fairness, without a hint of bias, we have to give Citroën a lot of credit because they've always been innovators. André Citroën was an absolute genius. He gave us the front-wheel drive, mass production, synchromesh gearbox, lots of things. So it's at the core DNA of Citroën. So, Trevor, your involvement with Nicola, she's a Citroënian. She, as a kid, spent many... That's the name, Citroënian.
I feel like I've been brainwashed.
So she had a 2CV as a kid.
How cool was that? It's a perfect marriage, really, with this garden and what Nicola's trying to do about encouraging people to make, even if it's a small domestic front garden, you can make a little difference, you know. And it's the same about just being a little bit more careful about how you choose to get around, what car you choose, and it's the same message. So it's been fabulous working with Nicola to produce
and
this
garden.
And I
think, garden. Derek, as well, while every car manufacturer is glad to queue up and take your money, and they're in business after all, I think in this garden, what it shows is that Citroën are doing it with a smile. I mean, you come away from this just going, you know, that's really good. And if that's where the industry is heading, that's brilliant for all of us, because it allows people options and to be as sustainable as possible. And the Emmy, you know, let's hope they get off their backside and sort the legislation out so we can see it in dealerships and people can buy it, because it's a lot of fun in an urban environment. It is just a very efficient use.
Well, you said
of
it's all plastic. Pretty much, am I right?
Recycled.
Yeah. What does it sound like, Michael?
Oh, inside it's pretty loud, but look, let me just give it a tap here.
So that's what the body of the car sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like a knock on a door from an RT sound effects library, doesn't it? So there's so many elements to it where you go, this is actually all I need. Like if you need to go shopping, there's enough space in the footwell behind your own driver's seat to do it. There's plenty of seat inside, places inside and size inside for large people to sit in the two seats.
Two large people.
And they're sort of slightly staggered as well, so you've got plenty of shoulder room. It does buzz around town. 45 kilometres an hour is pretty nippy in something that's small, and it really is all you need. And it's reasonably tall.
But
so
you mentioned headwind. Is there any danger you'd be blown off the road? I'm not being funny now.
Absolutely not. You know, 75 kilometre range as well, and it'll charge within 3 hours. It'll charge
and
from.
It's weighty. It's an absolute featherweight in terms of
and
cars.
And it has a sunroof, I believe.
Absolutely, glass roof there. So, and it's got the little windows that open as a nod to the old 2CV.
Flap open.
Yeah. So it's just about everything that you need. And
it's like air conditioning. You want air conditioning? Open the window.
Yeah.
You want a stereo? You have one on your phone. There's just a speaker in there, and you connect your phone to it.
The thing is basically the heavier you weigh, the more you'll consume and the less you'll go.
That's why it goes much less distance with me in it than Trevor. I get into it, the range reduces dramatically.
We'll test that, but it's the same physics.
It's like everything with every single vehicle you have. You've got to shift, when you think about it, you've got to shift your weight or whatever you're carrying around the place. So it's all about right sizing, getting the right size vehicle that suits your needs, and this is perfect for the urban
environment. Again, we'll have pictures on the website so you can have a look at the car and more, particularly the garden and how they complement each other, let's say. Anyway, Trevor, thank you very much indeed, and Michael and Nicola too.
Brilliant.